Moncrief on News Talk.
In the studio with us, including myself, three people who are all pee sitting down, Aidan O'Connell, Declan Buckley. Good afternoon to you both.
I'm being right now.
Yeah, we both we both laughed heartily when he got to that bit.
I've been being sitting down for a long, long time just because I like to make my mind up as I'm going.
No, but you can have an old sit and think, if you're being sitting down. Plus, especially first thing in the morning, you're like, it's
hard.
Yeah.
Well, minds of men, huh?
Yeah. First thing in the morning, it's like, because, it could go anywhere if you're standing. First thing in the morning. It's easier to, keep it sensible. Right, here's your first question. My in-laws, both in their late 70s, have temporarily moved into our house while theirs is being renovated. We originally thought it would be a few weeks, but due to delays, they now won't be out until the end of September. The problem is they are flat out having sex every single night without fail. They go to bed at about 10 p.m. and carry on for hours. This is full volume, shouting, hysterical laughing, triumphant cheering and endless commentary. Last week, I woke up at 1 a.m. To my father-in-law bellowing, "You've done me again!" The spare room is right under ours on the ground floor, and I genuinely don't know whether my wife somehow can't hear any of this or is simply pretending not to notice because she's too embarrassed to acknowledge it. We have not discussed it once. I cannot cope with an entire summer of this. Do I chat with my wife and ask her to have a word with them about keeping it down at night? Or would it be somehow less embarrassing to have a quiet man-to-man conversation with my father-in-law about the fact that the walls in this house are not soundproofed?
I mean, I can't imagine a world in which having that chat with your father-in-law would be less embarrassing than just turning to your wife and going, like, you need to have a chat with the parents. The thing about this situation, It's like,
but like, would you go to your parents and go, tone down the old noisy sex there, Dad?
So, I mean, I'm going to assume that there's an element of hyperbole going on in here. There's a little bit more dramatic than a little less dramatic, should I say, than the letter writer kind of presents here. But having said that, at night time, I think everything else is so quiet, noise travels, and if you're used to a certain kind of level of quiet in your house, to suddenly hear anything, and then for your mind to start deciding that that noise is X, Y, and Z, that's a bit off-putting. And the idea of, your in-laws downstairs, underneath you, being done in again, whatever that means.
You've done me again, he said.
That's the situation that you don't want to go on. So I think, he needs to do something here. The chat with the father-in-law is the wrong choice. Chatting with the wife and explaining to the wife how he's feeling and how it's affecting him is the angle. Because, look, yes, the wife is probably either deliberately ignoring it or is just not as sensitive to noise.
Oh no, she's definitely heard, ignoring. Like, she knows what's happening, unless she totally conks at night. But, I would say first off here, the father needs to change what he says at the end because that's disturbing. Number two, I would say,
well, that was just one night. That's probably a variety of catchphrases he has.
I would say there is a possibility that this couple could be deaf and might need, or genuinely might need hearing aids, because I know of a lot of people of that age group, no offense to anyone, but they are talking way louder, lads, than we are, because they actually can't hear. So they probably think they're being very silent.
But what I would do whispering, can you hear me, Margot?
I think that's what's happening here.
Right,
so you could start with, have you ever thought about hearing aids?
When you leave your hearing aid when you're having sex.
And then I would also say that I would feign a bit of ignorance, I would come into the kitchen and I would be like, Jesus, were the foxes going at it last night? Like, did you hear it? Or I'd be like, is there a ghost
foxes
in the house?
I can speak fluent English. Wow.
I'm just like, Jesus, there was awful racket going on here last night. Like, just kind of say it out and see what they say. And then it might open up the conversation. And then I would land in the bomb of, we can hear you writing.
Because it is that thing, houses aren't, as soundproof as often people think they are. That's a really good point about, maybe having some hearing loss, I have actual, full, profoundly deaf parents all my life, and I can tell you that I've never heard anything. So maybe it's just the hearing loss people that have that issue.
You're
the deaf
in
people,
denial, Declan.
The deaf
that's
people, they're like stealth bombers. Yeah. They're like, it's like full on silence. I wish. Yeah, and you know, and the thing about being embarrassed by your own parents, though, is a real thing. It's like, maybe the wife is kind of like, you know, I can hear this, I just don't want to deal with it the way I've always had to deal with my parents. And
maybe she's grown up with it.
Yeah.
And she actually just can't.
Maybe she's been hearing this her whole life. And so she doesn't hear it anymore.
Or she thinks it's normal.
Kind of has it so buried deep.
Yeah. So it's like internally there. But also, like, at the same time, they are guests in the home. And yeah. I live in a house share, like, so you have to be respectful of the people that are in your house. So if you're bringing someone home, like, you have to be aware that there's other people maybe beside you or upstairs. You can't be like,
if it's family members as well, you don't want to upset any sense of comfort they have in the house as well. So it's a delicate one. I think I do like that. I would do exactly what you said earlier on, which is I would make reference to it without turning it into an accusation. I would definitely kind of talk about the noise I heard, which sounded like whatever, but it couldn't possibly be that, because that would be really weird. You know, and if embarrassment isn't kicking in there, that's where I was going with, maybe these are, you know, those kind of unembarrassable parents, you know. And I think a lot of you know, when we're living in a world where even more so with what parents do on social media, that there are kids growing up here, you know, in our new culture where they're just living with, you know, secondhand mortification from their parents all the time.
I'm so happy my parents didn't have social media. Like, honest to God, I would die. No, well, How do you handle that? But first of all, he needs to have a conversation with the wife.
Yes.
Like, he does need to bring it up.
True. Yeah.
You know, stop baiting around the bush, like, do you know?
Yeah, so to speak, yeah. No, it's very strange that they haven't had a conversation about it. It's very strange that... I think I get the sense that because he hasn't mentioned it to her, he knows she's going to deny it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like if we're sitting in a room and there's a loud noise going on and the other person says nothing.
But if you just start screaming back?
There's something very strange going on there.
It's like, you know.
Someone says maybe it's the wife that's a bit deaf. Or selective loss of hearing.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's just jealous of her parents. Maybe. But like, it probably cuts both ways. If they can hear, you'd be reluctant to have a go yourself. Like,
Especially, if your parents are there.
Yeah, I mean, like, if that, because especially if that's the reason why the wife's going, oh, I couldn't possibly, my parents are downstairs, you know.
But the parents I really do think maybe it's a hearing aid situation.
That's funny.
I do think that.
Or maybe they worked in Ryanair and it's one of those,
lots of people suggesting they have loud sex themselves, but, you know, maybe that's not an option. Paula says, just take the father-in-law's pills away. Problem solved. That's a point.
Also, we haven't said, like, fair play to the couple.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You've been in your 70s.
Oh, great. Eamon says, tell him to man up. Take the father-in-law out for a pint, have a man-to-man conversation about his sexploits, and ask him to tone it down a bit because he's embarrassing his daughter, says Eamon. Now, see, the father says, no, she's been listening to this all her life.
It's only natural, yeah.
Maybe his in-laws are playing Monopoly. She's possibly cheating. Husband says, you have done me again. Somebody else wonders, are you sure they're not just watching Channel 4? Could be that too. Yes, pretend you think it's foxes. Then when you hear them at it again, rush into the room and say, can you hear them foxes? Let's go. I think he should say to the father-in-law, I don't think she's going to engage in it at all.
No.
And no one's going to go to their parents and say, we'll stop with the noisy sex.
But then how awkward, like, I know, I really just think you should go around it, like, kind of just being a bit, like, foolish
about it.
Yeah,
because you don't want to throw it.
Because I feel like if it, like, I know, like, bring out the father-in-law for a pint, but how many pints do you have to have before you could actually bring up that conversation in a pub? And there's no way you could.
Did you say to him, I can't remember, I'm pissed?
Yes, if that's not a good idea.
Because, there's no segue into that conversation.
How can you, like,
I was having really noisy sex with your daughter. You know what that's like, going to town.
Watching the Kerry Donegal game. And do you know what else is mad?
Yeah. Do you know what I hate? Noise. No. Let's list all the kind of noises we hate.
If the Jesus lad, the mother is like that in her 70s, he's in for a wild time in their 70s. Yahoo! He should place the Viagra with a sleeping pill. Problem solved. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would...
They
may be snorers as well. You never know. I think he should talk to the father-in-law. It's his best option. And you're voting for what?
I think go in and be like, oh my God, you heard the foxes last
night.
Yeah,
I think that's, yeah. I prefer that one, actually.
And, like, there's awful ruckus going
on. And even just the walls are thinner than
or
you
like,
think
we
around.
Or, like, we get a priest and, like, is there ghosts in the house?
An exorcism.
Do we need an exorcism?
Yeah. I don't know, would foxes work everywhere if you're, like...
I think if you're in the country, because you can hear them at night sometimes, because I think it's the banshee, but it's actually... Foxes.
Yeah.
And but by the sounds of it, these people sound like the banshee.
Yeah.
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 Say you're living in, I don't know, Raheny.
We have urban foxes
in Raheny.
I hear them at it all the time, squealing like banshees, and I'm in Dublin 6.
Yeah, so you can say it anywhere, city or country, lad. That's the way to do it.
Foxes are, they don't discriminate.
Yeah. Ed, who's in West Cork, says, completely the wrong advice to not go the man-to-man route with the father-in-law. There is no way the wife is going to say anything to her mammy and daddy, but there's some chance man-to-man with the father-in-law, a quiet word, bro code. Says Ed. Okay, maybe that's for a date. You're like,
fair pleasure.
But where does that go? If you go, then you're in a conversation, and that never ends with, like, and so therefore, it might be best if you just toned it down a bit.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It'd make them worse. a group of my friends are struggling with whether to say something to one of our closest friends before she gets married. When she first started dating her fiancé, we all liked him. He was good crack, seemed to make her happy. None of us were against the relationship, and we were genuinely happy when they got engaged. But since they got engaged, little things have started to bother us. Separately, each of us has had moments with him that left us uncomfortable. Things like misogynistic comments brushed off as jokes, odd attitudes towards money and finance between them, subtle put-downs, and a general sense that he expects things to revolve around him. No single incident sounds dramatic on its own, and that's partly why we've kept second-guessing ourselves. The problem is that when we compare notes, the overall picture doesn't feel healthy, and we're worried about her safety. Our friend has always been one to keep to herself, and in past relationships never told us the bad stuff until she was out of it. That said, she also doesn't seem especially excited about the wedding and never really wants to talk about it when we bring it up. We don't want to ruin our friendship or sound judgmental. We also know that once something is said, it can't be unsaid, especially this close to the wedding. Should we say something before the wedding or accept that this is her choice and keep our doubts to ourselves?
This is the trickiest situation in any friend group, and it's, I think every friend group, especially females, go through this a lot, and I have been through it, and I would be of the opinion, don't say anything.
Okay.
Unless the facts are right in front of you and something really dangerous is going on. But I have talked to girls in the past who have, you know, had partners and friends have not liked the partner.
Yeah.
And then they break up kind of naturally. And it's afterwards, the friends will go to them and be like, well, we actually never liked him, or we thought it was a bad relationship.
Yeah, and then they get back together.
No. They will always say, do you wish that I told you during the relationship?
Yeah.
And you, what I've heard from a lot of girls, they will say, I'm delighted you never said it to me, because I would have turned on you.
Yeah.
So like, you are at risk of losing a friendship.
Yeah.
Now, I know what those girls are saying, and like, they're not anything to be ignored, any of those signs, but you need to get a really good case together before you go to a friend like that and put that before her, because it might go the other way and you could lose out in a friendship. And in the meantime, make that friend maybe even more unhappy than she is.
Yeah,
I swung both ways with this one at the beginning.
Typical you.
My first instinct was say nothing. You know, leave it.
Yeah.
And for all the reasons that you described there, I think there's a few elements of this letter that I was kind of going, well, what does that actually mean? The first thing that kind of bugged me about it was the we. They're talking about we have got together as the gang of friends to talk about you, which is not, you know, a one-on-one relationship, which I think if it was one person talking to another person about what's going on, it's a lot more safer. It feels a lot more authentic, and it doesn't feel like the gang has decided to turn on him, you know. So that's the first thing that kind of made me go a bit uneasy about it. But then I kept thinking about, well, what is actually going on here, and what are these kind of issues? It isn't one big issue. It's lots of little kind of concerns and just the general kind of quietness of the bride-to-be about, you know, the wedding. I think that's the bit that felt the most kind of alarm belly to me, that I'm going, why is this person not giving off this kind of, I'm really excited about my upcoming wedding? Why are her friends, you know, often on this show, I talk about how sick I am of hearing people going on about their wedding. So to have a bride who's not, who doesn't seem to want to talk about it, like, is that because that's the dynamic? Is that her personality? Is it somebody who's low key or even a little bit unsure of themselves who doesn't want to, Asher, why would you want to talk about me and my big wedding?
Yeah, or else it's the vibe that it could be very bad, or the friends, if it's, as you say, that we element.
Yeah.
That, like, no one is stupid. Like, you can, everyone has good intuition, I think. And you can always get a vibe from someone. So maybe she's getting a vibe from her friends that they do not like this relationship and they don't want to be part of it. So she doesn't want to talk about her wedding because she's not getting that positive feedback back towards her.
Yeah,
that could be another element.
It isn't your job as a friend to help somebody decide who they're going to get married to or who they're going to end up a relationship. It's your job as a friend to be there to kind of, you know, so, and it's you mentioned the kind of after everything goes wrong kind of thing. And but there is sometimes a case, I believe, that when you need to say something first, it's a much braver thing to do and it's a much more risky thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I think if you approach it carefully and you know, and it's not, in this instance, I think it's very specifically saying this is not about him, this is about you being excited about your wedding. Why are you not given that vibe? Is, you know, and as your friend, I want to know why you don't seem so enthusiastic, because I'm feeling there's something up. Is there something up?
And that probably would be a better way if they did want to approach her, that they would start from the you don't seem too excited instead of going straight in on him. Which doesn't end well sometimes.
It could be anything. It could be financial troubles. It could be anything that's going on.
No, but they have said safety, which is a word that leaps out.
That you would be quite concerned.
And that's another reason why I'm saying you can't leave that till afterwards. Mm. You can't leave that to find out afterwards. You mentioned, would you have preferred, I came in earlier. I think in certain instances there will be women who say, I wish you had.
Maybe,
you know? Because there is some circumstances when it is very serious. I think people jumping to conclusions or looking for the bad drama in a situation, it's a difficult one, because, you know, I do think that there is something there that kind of makes me feel uneasy.
Yes.
And I think personally, I would find a way to ask the bride-to-be if everything is okay.
Yeah.
I
think it's going around, it's saying, like, you don't seem too, you know, because when girls get like ready for their weddings, like they are, that's all they talk about, like, you know, I'm in that season of my life at the minute.
And you can be really happy for somebody getting married.
Exactly.
And how excited they are while simultaneously thinking they're marrying a dead loser. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you were hopelessly in love with everybody you know's partner, that would be a very awkward situation.
And like, we've all been at weddings where you were looking at the couple and you're like, Jesus, what is going on there? But obviously see something. But I suppose it is a risk you take. But it's the friend. Yeah, and I suppose, look, if they do get very worried about the safety side of things,
friends, though, should be able to say, la la la, without it coming on with a whole lot of agenda or triggering somebody
I have just seen it happen with friendship groups where the girl has been confronted in question. And if it's a group and it has not ended well, and they've never, they've never been able to repair
the friendship, let's say.
They have stayed with these men, you know, and they've never been able to repair it afterwards. I was talking to a male about this earlier. He was like, I'll just say it straight out. And I was like, but how? Because that's so different between, say, men and women. Women will spend years, flogging a dead horse, having the same conversation again and again. Every time you're for drinks and that friend isn't there, you'll talk about how worried you are or the concerns you have about that partner. Whereas a man will just say it straight out. And I was kind of like, sure, you can't do that. You have to slowly come into it.
It doesn't have to be an intervention, though, does it? I don't think that's what this situation requires. It's not an intervention, but an expression of concern, or even just a question of, is everything okay? You didn't talk about the wedding today or whatever it is. And, you know, it might be that, you guys don't seem to want to talk about it, you know, whatever. It's a slowly thing rather than a big dramatic.
Yeah, but isn't there also a thing that you announce you're getting married and then it probably feels around you. You've been put on a train. You can't get off that train and everyone's, you know, on the train with
everyone's
you. We're heading towards wedding town, whether you like it or not at this point. And maybe all our friends need to do is say, you know, we'll pack you a bag and there's 10 grand in cash and we're with you, you know, kind of thing, if you want to bail out of this. And it doesn't have to be about anything
or
about him or the relationship, but just the wedding thing.
But it doesn't have to be that dramatic either, because even sometimes what you want to do with your friends is to say, this suddenly feels Like, it's not about organizing an event or buying a dress. This is suddenly feels this big, weighty, massive life choice that I'm making. And I think anybody entering into a big thing is sensible if they have a little bit of doubt and going, you know, is this guy a big loser?
There could be other things going on too. But like, there could be other things going on in her life, or like, we don't know. But even if there was a family member, maybe like a sister, that these girls could kind of...
No more girls.
I know you get a man in. Say it straight out.
Talk to her.
Come here now. Your man's a bollocks. Don't marry him. That'll sort it out. Years ago, I worked with an English girl. She was like zero interested in our hen. It was very low key. She called the wedding off. I think she called the wedding off not long before the wedding. We were not too surprised as they were not suited at all, but at least they've dodged the bullet. Kind of 50-50 between people. Some are saying she's an adult making a decision. Mm-hmm. Other people saying, yeah, you really need to kind of, if lots of people have had the same thought about him, then maybe there's
the common denominator. Yeah.
My wife recently got veneers done abroad after talking about wanting the perfect smile for years. She was very excited about them and spent a lot of money getting them done. The problem is that I absolutely hate them. They're huge, blindingly white, and don't look remotely like her old teeth, which I genuinely loved. Who loves someone's teeth? What do you love about her most?
Her teeth. The tooth fairy loves teeth.
I know this sounds cruel, but ever since she had them done, I feel like I'm snogging a horse. I can barely concentrate when she smiles at me, and I found myself actively avoiding sex because I'm so put off by them. To make matters worse, she's thrilled with the result and keeps asking if I love them. I've lied every time because I can see how happy and confident she feels. But physically, I'm struggling. I've even had trouble performing in bed since she got her new nashers, which has never happened before in our relationship. I can't pop them out and pop them in again. Do I keep pretending and hope I eventually get used to them? Or should I tell her the truth that they're truly awful?
Honestly, this one out, Laz, I actually don't know. Like, there's so many sites, I just can't. Like, number one, their veneers, like, her teeth are gone. Like, her actual natural teeth are gone.
Yeah.
So if he goes to her and says, get rid of your veneers, she can't, Laz. Like, what's she going to do? She's spending a bomb on these teeth. She's obviously very happy. There's a part of me is like, would he just ever get over it?
Yeah.
Just get over it. Like, I don't, what kind of kissing are you doing that you think you're snogging a horse? Like, just kiss her on the lips. Like, what? Like, what are they doing? Like, are they natural teeth? Like, what are they?
If it's changed the shape of her mouth, yeah.
But like, get used to the new shape. Like, practice. Like get to know a new person.
It is about getting used to it. You know these kind of like tropes where, you know, she comes home from the salon and the husband has a flip out because he can't believe that she cut her hair. Some people just find it really difficult getting used to the person that they're in a relationship making changes and they look different. I think he will get used to it after time. I think, as you say, it's a done deal now.
She can't.
The teeth are in her mouth
there
forever. And sometimes, the drastic sudden change from before to now is a shock. And he's kind of holding on to that rather than kind of allowing
I hope he loves his wife, but he should love her for her beyond the teeth. Like, there is more to that woman than her teeth.
Oh, no, absolutely. But I mean, it's hard to avoid them. You can see why they're there all the time.
Yeah.
And he possibly might think she looks different or... You know when people get false teeth and it looks like,
and
you know,
yeah,
it changes the shape of their face and...
Say she'd gone off to Turkey and had a facelift, or say she radically changed the colour of her hair or whatever it is.
All of
these things, you know, they change people. Some of them are reversible, as you've pointed out, and some of them aren't. And, you know, at the end of the day, body autonomy, the person has the right to do whatever it is. It can affect somebody's attraction. That's also a fact. And you can't force somebody to be attracted physically to something that they're not. But at the end of the day, like, I think even if the teeth are like millimeters bigger or whatever,
if a man came over to me and said, I don't like your teeth, or was it nice something I got done with my hair or something like that, I'd be like, do you ever go away? Like, I'm after paying the money I'm earning to make myself feel better. I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
Go off and find another horse, like, do you know what I mean?
Well, does somebody suggest that he should leave her for a less toothy woman?
She deserves better than a man who doesn't like...
Is that something we can put on Grinder?
Like, you know, down some back alley.
I regret I read that out. Yeah. God knows. I should issue apology now before someone explains me what I just said. Hey, Dean and Declan, thank you both very much.
Guys.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk.
conversation that counts.